Welcome, beloved.
From way up there, it looks so
this
small.
Is Light Alchemy here, Podcast, so Season 2. Pursuing the Empathy Utopia as a community. Hello and welcome. On today's episode, we're doing a quick little mini special. It's just going to be me, and it's to attend to some current events that have been brought to my attention surrounding orgasmic meditation. Now, I want to be clear that what works for one body doesn't work for everybody, and I want to separate also the practice itself from the company, the organization, and the founder. I'm more familiar with the practice than I am with the way that the organization was structured or run. I think there's a lot of opportunity for any industry, anything that becomes incorporated, to be subject to capitalism, and the way that capitalism operates is not ethical. We know that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were critiques to be made about the administrative aspects of One Taste or orgasmic meditation. But most importantly, and what I can speak to from my personal experience, is the effectiveness of the practice itself. Now, there's been a lot of conversation around orgasmic meditation being a cult, being a manipulative or sexually exploitive practice. And I can vehemently, with absolute certainty, say for me, in the practices and the people and the circles that I have experienced and been in contact with, it has been nothing but an incredible sacred container for catharsis, for transformation, for reclaiming your divine essence as a multi-orgasmic being. And it's really at the foundation of a lot of my tantric breathwork now. That positioning of the hand at the upper left quadrant of the clitoris, or on the frenulum if you have an outie rather than an innie, it just gives you this grounding point for when you're doing your breath work that can be so deeply nourishing. It allows that elixir of erotic energy to saturate every cell, to really escape the confines just of the genital tissues and moving up into the full body. And that full body bliss, that all over, yes, that is the surrender moment that orgasmic meditation unlocked for me. Before then, I really wasn't able to access it. And I had been in training for years, you know, learning all of the embodiment practices, yoga, somatics, meditation, mindfulness. And they were all really important tools in pursuing my multi-orgasmic nature. But it wasn't complete until I found that little invitation, that container of the 15 minutes devoted to that, drawing the energy out of the clitoris, fully elongating, fleshing out, and bringing the fullness and the opulence into the entire space of the vulva, of the genitals. And it really rejuvenates your root. I mean, I consistently orgasm now. I have accessed types of orgasms that I never even knew was possible. At the time that I found orgasmic meditation, I was only able to orgasm from clitoral stimulation. Typically, pornography was also involved in that. And now, knowing what I know about pornography as this like soul-sucking vehicle for literally the entrapment of life force, literally programming your desire compass to the matrix, right? Now I know that, and being able to access this energy on my own through orgasmic meditation and tantric breathwork and all of those things allowed me to access what genuine, authentic, primal turn-ons were for me. And once I was able to access the real instinctual sex drive that lives in my body and able to calibrate my desire compass to only get off on real pleasure, not on the performance, the simulacra of aversion of violent pleasure that doesn't even exist, right? That was the key for me. I could never go back. I could never accept that lesser version of sexuality because I knew what was possible. And that was frustrating in its own right because there weren't a lot of people teaching this. There weren't a lot of folks that I could connect with directly to do these practices and share this with. So it was a very lonesome journey in the beginning. Granted, nothing feels more lonely than not being able to come. Like being unorgasmic as a person was the peak loneliness of my entire life. Like all of the depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation that I ever thought was me was really coming from that disconnect from my orgasmic, my erotic nature, my primal self, and the blueprint of humanity that we all have, right? That erotic truth. That is our blueprint. That's the kingdom of our bodies and of pleasure that we all deserve access to and all can have access to, no matter what you've been through or no matter what body you were born with. There are ways to get there. And you may choose a version of orgasmic meditation that's self-led, or you may choose one where you have a practitioner with you, being present with you. There is a lot to be said about the power of, you know, when you're doing these practices, like huge emotions will roll through you. Sometimes there are triggers that happen. Sometimes there are memories that come up that need to be released and discharged. And it's not by accident. It's not because you're fucked up that happened. No, it's by design. That's what these practices are made to do. Orgasmic energy clears everything out, which means any residual, you know, feelings, emotions, vibrations stuck in your tissues are going to get blasted out. That can be really intense. And personally, sometimes, especially in the beginning, it was really challenging for me to sit through those moments and be like, okay, I know that, you know, as soon as the timer goes off, I can let go of this. It's not going to last forever. It's just for now. But there's something really powerful about having someone present with you when you are doing that kind of releasing. It's the same reason why I do breath work and why I host pleasure ceremonies in groups. Because yes, we can do sex magic alone. Yes, we can masturbate alone. Yes, we can be naked alone. We can do yoga alone. We can breathe alone. But we weren't really meant to. Everything is more powerful when we do it in a group. And when we come up upon those blockages, which we all have and we all will experience and come upon, when you hear someone else in the room, or you feel someone else in the room coming up against that wall too, but they're able to jump it or press through it. That gives you the courage, the bravery, the invitation to do that too, to follow. Not all of us are going to lead all of the time when we are in circles like this and we are doing these ceremonial practices together. But we all will lead at some point. We all will be the brave one at some point. And that is an exponential space to be in when you are saturated by the orgasmic energy moving through the room, where you are in an open conversation and exchange between each other's nervous systems, between each other's cells, our God particles connecting. That is such incredible, juicy magic. And it can be scary. It's so intense. Sometimes after these, I can't sleep. I got to go dance it out. I got to go shake it out. It fills me with such unimaginable aliveness that, you know, it's like the orgasm that instead of leaving you stays inside you and keeps ricocheting around like a ping pong ball machine, fixing all the little things that you haven't been able to get to, right? It's like pure life, pure aliveness. And it's yours and you deserve to feel it. And just because you haven't felt it yet doesn't mean that you won't. And just because you haven't squirted yet doesn't mean you won't. just because you haven't had your G-spot or cervical orgasm doesn't mean you won't. And a lot of us are praying, are dreaming of that magical partner who gets so curious about our bodies that they unravel all the mysteries within and show us everything that we are capable of. But that lover has been here all along. That lover is the earth. That lover is the earth elements in your body. That lover is the body itself, is your self energy in your own body. That perfect lover who can become infinitely curious about you, that can unravel your deepest mysteries, it can be you. And when you choose to show up for yourself with all of your divinity in tow, your full self, your full expression of human emotion, your full expression of triggers and glimmers and all of those good and bad things, when you show up completely and you are willing to do this work, whether it's alone, whether it's in a group, or whether it's partnered with a practitioner to help guide you through, it is powerful, transformative work. It is the utopia coming into being. Our personal liberation is our collective liberation. And people that don't understand these practices, they're going to look at them and they're going to say, this shit looks fucking crazy. This shit looks wacky. Where's the goal-oriented, selfish, performative pleasure that they're familiar with? Where's the good, obedient, law-abiding citizen that they call civilized? They are afraid of your primal self. Because your primal being cannot be lied to. Your intuition is immaculate. Your ability to move through and manifest exactly what you want, whether it is a 10-hour work week or $1 million or a family with 10 kids, you have the ability to do all of those things. Your manifestation ability, your ability to stand up and say what isn't is not right, all is sourced from this root connection, from this orgasmic compass of desire in your body. And that is what we are rehabilitating through orgasmic meditation, through breath work, through tantra, through all of these things. And it just breaks my heart when I see situations like, the Netflix special that's calling Nicole Dadone's One Taste company, which has been founded on sexual wellness and liberation, a cult. It's like, that is the proof in the pudding right there. That's the proof of the effectiveness and the power of this technique, is how afraid they are of it getting popular, of it becoming big, of it becoming profitable. They don't want that. They don't want that. If you knew that you could orgasm your way out of suicidal ideation, do you really think you would still be taking the 10 different pharmaceutical petroleum-based drugs that clinically are not proven to be more effective than placebo, but have a hell of a lot of side effects? No. Every time you orgasm, you take money out of that doctor's pocket. Every time you orgasm, you take money out of all of that whole medical industrial complex. And to them, you're stealing their money. They're going to come after every aspect of it that they can, even when it means violating the consent and autonomy of the people involved in these practices. Like, Netflix stole footage of people that are in this sacred ceremony that they did not consent to, that they did not allow. It legally, it shouldn't be allowed to happen. There's, in fact, a lawsuit pending currently where, at the very least, they're begging Netflix to blur these innocent people when they didn't consent to being victimized in this way and stolen for a bastardized story. It's like, if they were really, right, if the powers that be were really concerned with the welfare of the women and the vulnerable people, they wouldn't be using stolen footage, which literally doxes and reveals private secrets and intimate moments and experiences that were not to be shared. That is a direct violation of consent. So, you know, you always got to take a look when you hear this kind of stuff coming up, when you see resistance. It's not by accident. And the means are the end. So when I see something like this, I see Netflix using unethical, non-consensual means to achieve an end that they propose is ethical. Oh, we just want to protect. We feel people are being exploited. If you cared that much about people being exploited, you wouldn't participate in exploitation, Netflix. If you cared that much about protecting the rights of the women that were involved in these ceremonies, you would not be releasing footage of them without their consent or knowledge. So just keep your peepers open. You know, y'all, I don't believe in cancel culture, but I do believe in accountability and processes of accountability. And that's not what this is. A process of accountability would look like, you know, actual investigations into whatever allegations are taking place based off of a victim-first mentality, having the people who were victimized and claim to have had a negative experience be the ones driving the front of that investigation and how we go about making changes or what needs to be done, right? Putting the victims' faces and intimate experiences on national television is the fucking opposite of a victim-centered approach. Like, please do not pretend that you are trying to do something good for these women when you literally have hurt them worse in the process of trying to quote unquote pursue justice. If it causes harm, it is not justice. Like, that should be a pretty simple thing. But for whatever reason, Netflix has lost sight of that because they saw a good headline. Orgasm cult. That sounds like something we would all watch, right? And once you've gone from Jeffrey Dahmer, where can you go from there? They're probably running out of material. They're like, what corruption can we enrapture them with now? You know what? Fuck all that noise. My challenge to you is to go try it for yourself. You don't need someone else to lead you through these practices. You could contact me for a session if you desired, or contact someone who's certified in your area. I would recommend always, and this is not just for orgasmic meditation, in all things, in all ways, I always advocate for get a queer mentor, doctor, whatever. If you're pursuing services, choose a queer person. Choose someone with a trauma-informed background. And do not choose a cis man. Respectfully, not to ostracize any of the cis men who are listening to this, who are practitioners of orgasmic meditation, who truly do want to bring healing for, you know, all bodies. I just see so much of the vernacular around this conversation being around like, oh, well, there were a lot of male practitioners. Oh, there were like, remove the risk for yourself. Remove the risk for yourself when you're pursuing care. Source it from a female-bodied or non-cis human. Source it from someone who is queer, who represents your demographic. Like, it's not going to be easy, of course, and I'm not downplaying that there are many barriers to getting access to care and getting the right representation for the mentorship you're seeking, right? But if you're not white, don't pursue services from a white person, right? Like, if you actually have culture, if you know where your bloodline is from, you know where your ancestors are from, try and align to the best of your ability and with what is available, right? Try and align your leaders and the people that you choose to look up to and ask for advocacy and advice. They should share as much of your life experience as possible. And that's not to say that other people can't help. It's just to say that the effectiveness, the barriers to understanding are lower. There are less barriers when someone shares more of your experience, your lived experience, and can really like resonate with what you've been through. Like, for example, I am a first generation American. So I get a lot of mixed faith families because I have a mixed faith. I grew up in a mixed faith family. I get a lot of people who are coming from that first generation immigrant family perspective as well. I get a lot of queer folks, a lot of non-binary and gender fluid folks, a lot of people who are dealing with religious trauma or shame, because those are the things that I was steeped in. We are all little mushrooms and we grow up in a pile of shit. We grow up in filth and we take all of that in and we create antidotes. We create solutions out of the problem. The problems that we are given are literally the way that we become ourselves. So us, our little mushies, we soak up all the shit, we transform it, we make it into this beautiful elixir of life, and then we can give it back out to each other. So it just makes sense that you would connect and receive deeply from people who share your lived experiences. So that's all I'll say on that. And, you know, I think it also reduces some of the friction and some of the harm that happens on a subconscious and unintentional level between cultures, races, ethnicities, religions, all that sort of thing, by just choosing someone who has a less opportunity to be biased, like they're biased towards your experiences, you know, if that makes sense. So if you have further questions about orgasmic meditation and you want to get in touch, you want to conversate on this, you have more research that you want to provide, I'm happy to continue this episode and add on to it if there's more information that comes to light, if there are other people who have had experiences with orgasmic meditation that want to speak on it. And if you want to experience it yourself in a group atmosphere, you can attend one of the pleasure ceremonies that I host in Philadelphia, PA. We have a private space and we do things in a trauma-informed, queer-centered container. It is closed to all cishet men. There is a separate certification process for them to get access to their own pleasure ceremony, but these ones are designed and focused on queer and largely female-bodied, but all in all, just queer beings, queer bodies, gender expansive folks who want to access this and be guided through the experience without having to be touched by other people. So in this ceremony, we move through, you know, yoga, mantras, breath work, self-touch, tantra, all of these lovely, yummy things. And then orgasmic meditation is actually the last part. So that's the pinnacle, the peak of our experience together. And we do some yoni massage and some lingam massage in there as well. And it's just overall like a really beautiful grounding spot for you to do whatever the thing is, whatever you need to release, whatever you are ready to receive and call in, whatever you are ready to experience. This container is there for you and it's completely customizable. I create a container that is just full of invitations. So you can say no to anything that doesn't feel good to you. And you can disobey me at any point, right? Because your body is the authority. So I've taken the principles of orgasmic meditation and built them into this proprietary pleasure ceremony, which is a blend of all these different somatic sorcery tools that lead to a truly sovereign experience in your own divine orgasmic bliss. It's been an incredible pleasure to share these experiences with the community. I'm so grateful for those brave, courageous souls who bear their bodies and bear their energy to be seen and witnessed and to contribute to this collaborative expansion of utopia and visioning of that utopia that we know is possible. It's like that word that's right on the tip of your tongue and you know it's coming and it's about to be there. And that's what we do for each other is remind you, you're not the only one dreaming. Remind you, you're not the only one who's reaching for this. Remind you that you're not the only one who is struggling. Remind you that you are not alone, that you are perfect and your body is perfectly yours, that there's nothing wrong with you, and that the challenges you experience, may they be sexual, spiritual, physical, or whatever, they are here to be leaned into. They are here to hone you and sculpt you into the beautiful diamond that you already are. I hope that this has brought a new tool into your awareness, or maybe made you curious to give it a try for yourself. But until next time, you are so deeply loved. Be well. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please remember to subscribe and write us a review on whichever platform you listen to the podcast on. You can also connect with me through my free newsletter every month on my website, leoralay.com. The link is in the show notes for you. You can also subscribe on Patreon for recordings of all my past classes, behind the scenes photos and videos, and my entire archive from when I started shooting back in 2012. This is a body positive, nude positive space where we can talk about all things and investigate and have deeper discussions. I always reply to all my messages on there. I don't reply to as many on Instagram, but you can find me there too at Eccentric Earthling. If there are folks you think I should chat with that I haven't yet, feel free to send me suggestions as well. Until next time, be well. Remember, no one is quite like you. And until next time, stay brave. Stay open.
When I say celestial, I mean extraterrestrial. I mean accepting the alien you've rejected.